We're talking with Kevin Zeese, who's one of the co-directors of Popular Resistance. And along with Margaret Flowers, he recently put out an article, Pivot to Peace Must Replace U.S. Pivot to War with China. Kevin, may I just briefly, what is Popular Resistance?
Popular Resistance is a news site that also is used for organizing. We cover news related to the popular movement, and it came out of the Occupy movement.
Now, President Trump has recently been escalating the war, Cold War with China, partly to deflect attention from his mishandling of the COVID-19 crisis and the collapse of the United States economy. But one of the points that your article makes is, that in fact, this is not something that was started under Trump. In fact, President Obama took a number of steps to escalate the conflict with China.
Yeah, the U.S. has seen China as a rival, a growing rival, especially economically. For more than 5-6 years now, the Chinese GDP measured by purchasing power parity has been larger than the United States, and under the traditional GDP measure, it will soon be larger than the United States. And the U.S. has been trying to hold China down because it's a threat to U.S. domination. So during the Obama era, the Obama administration, with Hillary Clinton doing a major part of the work, writing about how China, Asia is going to be the dominant factor in global economy, and the U.S. needs to be in the center of that. They moved to put in place the Asian pivot. So the Obama-Biden-Clinton team moved 60% of U.S. military resources to Asia, specifically into the China Sea, but to really show China that the U.S. is a power in the Pacific Rim. This has been increased by President Trump. President Trump has been especially escalating recently in this last year, specifically with increases in ships, battleships, and U.S. Air Force flyovers along the China Rim. And most recently with the COVID crisis, he's been escalating the rhetoric about COVID-19 being the China virus and making all sorts of allegations about Chinese secrecy and such. This is leading to a real escalation. The U.S. has changed its national security strategy from the war on terror to great power conflict. That's the official strategy now, great power conflict. It's almost like saying World War III is our strategy. But the most recent escalation by Trump has been seen in budget documents and statements from testimony about those budgets, great escalation of missiles, including smaller missiles that will be traveling on marine boats along the China coast. These are nuclear-tipped missiles. They'll also be land-based missiles. They are also, U.S. is also creating relationships with the Philippines and Japan to create a rim of security that encircles China on the Pacific coast. And this is they're particularly targeting the islands and along China that where most of the oil and trade for China goes through. So this would be a choke point to stop both the use of oil and gas for their military and their economy, as well as to stop global trade to China. It's a real effort to put China down. And there have been reports from the Obama era, from the RAND Corporation and others, describing how we win the unthinkable war. How do we defeat China? And those reports called for doing so before 2025, because China was growing its military arsenal in response to the U.S. escalation. And the idea is to put in place the rim of military activity so that China can be bombed back to the Stone Age and really be no longer a rival to the United States. It's a very scary scenario.
Now, one of the things in terms of a military conflict is that You know, I have a sense that a lot of Americans think this idea that we have, I forget the exact number, but military bases in, you know, well over 100 countries is sort of a normal, you know, effort that a major power does. Mm-hmm. But how does sort of, you know, like the United States military presence in other countries compare to China or even Russia in terms of number of, you know, bases they have put, military bases in other countries?
Well, the U.S. has 800 military bases, and if you combine those with outposts, 1,200 military bases and outposts around the world. So we are, throughout the world, our military is having bases. China has no foreign military bases. Russia has two naval bases that go to freshwater ports, so they're not landlocked. And it's a no comparison between the United States. The same is true with military spending. U.S. military spending, which is more than $1 trillion, when you include not just the Pentagon, but the Department of Energy, for example, where all the nuclear weapons are budgeted. More than $1 trillion spending is more than the next 10 countries combined. So Russia spends about 10% of what the U.S. spends on military, so that we dwarf all other countries. And this has been part of an effort by the United States to really create a domination that is both on the land, sea, air, and now in outer space. So it's a very aggressive effort to really have a complete domination, especially over great powers like Russia and China. This is a very risky strategy because Russia and China see this strategy. This is a public strategy. So Russia and China sees this strategy developing, and they're developing a stronger military alliance. And they're also developing alliances with other countries as well. So while Russia and China are doing that in response, they also see the U.S. directing NATO to target Russia and China as part of this great power conflict. And Japan, a major ally in the Pacific Rim, along with the Philippines, are joining with the U.S. So this is a real global conflict. And two things happened in the last week. One was an internal Chinese document, internal intelligence report, that said that as a result of the COVID virus and the backlash, a backlash that the U.S. is helping to foster, China has to be ready for an increased economic war and even a military attack from the United States. And then Reuters did a report looking at this escalation by the United States, showing the increased number of missiles, the increased number of ships. And so you're seeing both the U.S. and China seeing this escalation developing. So this conflict, this new national strategy of great power conflict is becoming a reality.
Now, one of the things that was initiated during the Obama administration, which you and many others were active in successfully stopping, was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Why was that such a concern?
Well, the TPP was the largest corporate trade agreement in U.S. in world history. It included 11 Pacific Rim countries and the United States, but did not include the largest Pacific Rim country, China. It was an effort by the United States to cut China out of the economies of the Asia-Pacific. And so this was an effort at dollar domination with U.S. corporations and U.S. dollars dominating the Asia-Pacific rim and really an effort to shut China out as much as possible. We were successful in stopping it, and people thought that was like kind of the beginning of the end of U.S. domination of Asia. But, of course, the United States never gives up. And after that was stopped, the U.S. escalated its new strategy of great power conflict. So we continue on this path. It's a very much a corporate and U.S. foreign policy goal for the U.S. to be the dominator of the Asia Pacific.
So we have been talking with Kevin Zeese, who is co-executive director of Popular Resistance, about a recent article, Pivot to Peace Must Replace United States Pivot to War with China. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.